Imagine trying to rewrite a country's entire operating system when, like, the original code was explicitly designed to crash the computers of 80% of its users.
Right, it's almost an impossible task.
Yeah, and welcome to your custom deep dive into South Africa's 1998 white paper on population policy. Our mission today is really to figure out exactly how a nation engineers a completely new relationship with its own people.
And doing that requires looking at the demographic math they inherited, because the previous administration wasn't just oppressive. I mean, they treated demographics like this incredibly dystopian accounting firm.
Wait, what do you mean by an accounting firm?
Well, so they set this aggressive target to drive the black population's fertility rate down to 2.1 by the year 2010.
So essentially trying to put a hard cap on the population at, what, 80 million?
Exactly. While ironically subsidizing white immigration at the exact same time.
Wow. It's quite literally a corporate balance sheet approach.
Yeah.
The state treated human beings as liabilities that needed to be aggressively minimized, you know, rather than citizens to be nurtured.
And it was a completely rigged balance sheet, too. They operated on the totally backwards premise that poverty was naturally caused by high population growth.
Right. Conveniently ignoring the fact that they had systematically engineered that poverty by restricting land and resources.
Exactly. So if you're the new government coming in around 1998, you can't just, you know, cross out liability and write asset.
Yeah, you have to actually change the mechanics of how the state operates from the ground up.
Right, and that is where the 1994 Cairo conference really comes into play here. Cairo fundamentally changed the global math on demographics.
Okay, how so?
Well, it proved that if you focus on sustainable human development, specifically by giving people reproductive health and bodily autonomy, economic growth just follows organically.
Oh, so the new South African policy basically took that blueprint and transformed family planning from a weapon of demographic control into a fundamental human right.
Yes, exactly. It flipped the script.
I mean, I get the theory, but let's be real for a second. We're talking about a country with a staggering Gini coefficient of 0.65 at the time.
Yeah, it was massive.
Right. And 45% of the population was in poverty. Africans were earning only 13% of what whites earned.
Truly extreme inequality.
Yeah, so you don't fix a 0.65 Gini coefficient just by declaring that family planning is a human right.
How did this paper actually plan to move the needle on those extreme numbers?
By completely shifting the mechanism of measurement, actually. Instead of defining success by these macro fertility targets, they realized they had to tackle micro daily barriers.
Okay, what kind of barriers?
To move a Gini coefficient that massive, the 1998 policy maps out how to integrate population dynamics directly into physical infrastructure planning. You really have to look at the tangible things holding people back.
And the infrastructure failures documented in the source are just brutal. I mean, 57% of African households didn't even have piped water.
Yeah, and think about the daily impact of that. Rural women were spending over 3 hours a day just fetching water and wood.
3 hours a day, that is wild. It is. Which is why female empowerment becomes the primary economic lever of this entire strategy.
Right.
And the paper also confronts the really grim reality of gender-based violence. They noted that a rape occurred every 83 seconds.
That is horrifying.
Yeah, and they realized a thriving, sustainable economy is mathematically impossible if half your population is constantly navigating violence or just trapped in these basic survival loops.
It completely reframes how you look at something like a water pipe. You know, fetching water isn't just a plumbing issue. It's a direct barrier to economic freedom.
Precisely.
Because it steals 3 hours a day that a woman or a child could use to sit in a classroom or, like, build a business.
Exactly. That demographic liability the old government was so terrified of, the state literally manufactured it by failing to lay down a basic pipe.
That makes so much sense.
Right, and that is the core causality the 1998 policy establishes. Improving access to basic services like clean water and sanitation isn't just an infrastructure project. It is the foundational population strategy. Unlocking that stolen time and human potential is what naturally stabilizes population dynamics.
Which really makes you realize that population policies are far more than just dry statistics. They're actual blueprints of a society's values, you know? Every resource allocation tells you exactly how a government views its people.
Right. If a state invests in a pipe, it's investing in the hours that pipe gives back to a citizen.
Absolutely. Which leaves a final provocative thought for you to ponder on your own today.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. If a government's infrastructure and family planning policies inherently map out the future of its economy, What does your own country's current approach to basic resources say about its vision for the next generation?
Are they investing in citizens to be nurtured?
Or are they still treating people like liabilities on a balance sheet?